2 Timothy chapter number 3, let's pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our hearts this morning. Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You for the Bible, Lord. Thank You for the breath You've given us and the ability to get here and meet together today. And Lord, help us in our feeble attempt to worship. And Lord, speak to us through Your Word, through this message. Breathe on this message. Breathe on this church, Lord. Use us for Your honor and Your glory. Draw us close to You today. Give us what we need and the heart to accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The first thing I want to see, and we want to see today, is verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We see the perilous times, and that word perilous means hazardous. It means full of risk and full of danger. And when we think of these things, we think of these risks and dangers. We think of physical things. A lot of times we'll think of things like skydiving, or we think of things like, whitewater rafting. You know, where they go down through the kayaks, and they've got their helmets on, and that water is just slamming them to and fro, and their heads are banging into the rocks. They have them helmets on, and we think of things like that. Now, I guess now it's, probably haven't been paying attention for a while. I think for quite a while now they've been in this base jumping. You know, now they're jumping off skyscrapers and crazy stuff. No fear. Well, no common sense is what it is. If God wanted you to fly, to give you wings, amen. I remember I seen this little guy. I think he was an Asian guy. He was an Asian guy. He was this great big lookout point over the mountains, and I'm talking mountains, not hills, right? So he climbs out over this fence, and he's standing on this platform that's just hanging as a cliff out over the edge. You can see under it, and he's standing out there, and he's got this goofy suit on, and he's got these little wings that come out to about here, and this joker's getting ready to jump off. I'm talking thousands of feet down, and everybody's watching. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to see if he's going to make it. I'm not sure what would have thrilled me most, if he would have just skimmed the top of the trees and made it, or maybe he didn't touch him at all. But he jumps off this thing, and he just goes down and down and down and down and down. And I thought, yep, that wasn't good. And all of a sudden, he kind of levels out right above these trees. And I'm thinking, boy, you got to have good timing, amen? I always think Asian people, I think common sense, and that was not in this video, amen. But he did, he took off flying, and I think, boy, that's pretty risky. That's pretty dangerous. I'd never do that. I'd never jump out of a perfectly good airplane, amen. I'd have trouble getting out of one that wasn't perfectly good, amen. Especially at my age. When I was younger, I'd think silly things like that, but these perilous things we think about, but we oftentimes, we put all the emphasis on the physical. But in the last days, the perilous times are spiritual perils. And we're facing spiritual perils today. We live in a world and we live in a country, especially in the United States of America, where, you know, you hear people say stuff like, well, the Second Amendment ensures the First Amendment. Now, I agree. I like the Second Amendment. I think we should have the right to bear arms. But it's the other way around. Your right to free speech, your right to religion, your right to this book is what ensures number two. Amen. I was talking to a preacher here not too long ago, and he said, what do you think about all this, you know, confiscating guns things? What would you do? What's your mindset on that? I said, well, if they show up at my door, I'm giving them my guns. He said, well, I said, no, well, I got a family. I'm going to fight an Apache helicopter. I'm going to fight a tank. I'm going to fight, you know, 10 people that are wearing armor. Are you silly? Live to fight another day. Give them my guns. He said, I think I'm kind of in that boat too. He said, it depends on how they do it. I said, what I'm not willing to give them is my Bible. Amen. Now, I understand, you know, people hide a gun out in your yard, put it by your gas pipe so the metal detectors won't identify, all this goofy stuff. You got to hide the word in your heart just in case. Amen. But more important than a firearm is this book. 66 calibers of God's word, amen. You see, one day I don't want to stand before the Lord and him say, well, you know, it's kind of silly that you fought that fight that you shouldn't have had to fight and you didn't have to fight. I could have protected you without a gun. I would have protected you without a gun. You know, I don't care if you have a missile, a rocket launcher, landmines, own a tank or a helicopter. If God ain't in it, you're not safe. Amen. But God can take care of you whether you have a firearm or not. Amen. What's more important to you? You know what happens? Is even as preachers, because I've heard a lot of preachers say, and I kind of went back and forth on this, I don't want to give them my guns. I think all kinds of silly stuff like, are you kidding me? We're Americans. And then I think they're not even going to try to pay for them. They just come take them. So now they're stealing from my family money when they take those. You know, I think all kinds of things like that. But you know what? Even blood-bought, born-again believers are more willing to die to protect the flesh than the spirit. I ain't giving them my guns. No thought of the Bible. No thought of the Bible. You know what makes me mad is what the devil's trying to do to pretend like he has a word of God out there and changing it so everybody will feel good about themselves no matter what sin they're in. That bothers me more than people losing their guns. Amen? People are going to die and go to heaven or hell whether or not they have a gun. But people aren't going to be able to find heaven without the word of God. And you and I won't be able to live right without it. I can't, you know, I can make it. I actually do leave the house once in a while without a firearm, and I make it. I actually feel a little uncomfortable without a cell phone anymore. It's kind of weird. Because I'm like, oh, what if somebody calls? What am I going to do? Probably just answer it later. Amen. The only time I'm uncomfortable without a gun is if I'm someplace where I think, boy, I really wish I'd have brought that thing. But as a saved man, I'd be real uncomfortable without a Bible. And with no scripture, I'd be real uncomfortable. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable in church and don't want to come back because they're not comfortable. They don't have any scripture. Makes them uncomfortable. Amen. You need to be prepared. You need to have some Bible verses. You have some book in you. Amen. Because we're in perilous times. And it's not the physical you need to worry about. It's the spiritual. Hey, if you're saved, you're saved. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible says you're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life." Should not perish, but have everlasting. Everlasting lasts forever. Amen. Jesus Christ himself said that his sheep shall never perish. Now, I understand he's talking about Israel and he's talking about the church, but he's talking about sheep that are not of that fold. He brings those two together, Israel and the Gentiles, and he says they're his sheep now, the sheep of not of the original fold, and he says his sheep shall never perish. Now, either you have eternal life or God lied. Amen. And I don't care if you call yourself a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever.
Amen.
The book says it. I believe the book.
Amen.
And even if I didn't, the book's still right.
Amen.
Amen. I have everlasting life.
Yep.
See what the devil could do to you if you didn't have a Bible? Hey, look, you might believe it today that you have everlasting life. If you didn't have a Bible for 6 months, the devil could get you to doubt it. I'd say 3 months he could get you to quit. Amen. Probably a month and a half he could get you to quit and you wouldn't even know you quit. Amen. Because we got a weird idea what quit is. Amen. Quit doesn't mean you're down at the whorehouse or the bar or you're down there stealing stuff and robbing people. Quit means you don't think about God anymore. Quit means you don't put him in the program. Quit means you put stuff between you and him. Quit means you quit reading your Bible, you quit praying, you quit doing anything that has to do with growing toward Christ. That's quitting.
Amen.
You can quit anywhere. You can quit in church. Amen. We're in perilous times, spiritually speaking. Because I guarantee you, now look, we're fortunate in this town because there are a couple really solid churches. There really are. And I hope we are and stay that way forever until the Lord calls us out of here. But you could go to 9 out of 10 churches in these perilous times we live in and be in danger because they're missing the Word of God. Amen. And I don't care what they call themselves. Amen. I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist.
Right.
I like the old preacher said, I'm Baptist because I'm saved. Amen. But I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist. I could have never heard the word Baptist and still go to heaven.
Amen.
But I couldn't have done it without Jesus Christ.
Right.
The guys over in the prison used to say, what church are you from? What denomination are you? I said, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I go to a Baptist church. He said, I like the way you say that, they'd say. I said, well, yeah, because if the church leaves the Bible, I'm leaving the church.
Amen.
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 And if the Methodists are closer than the Baptists, I'm going to the Methodist church.
Amen.
Amen. See, I'm not religious that way. I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not anti-Baptist. I think the old-time Baptists had it right, and I think we ought to keep the old-time Baptist doctrine and keep on going with it. But let me tell you something. The old-time Methodists had it right, too.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of them used to have it right. And a lot of them left what's right because we're in perilous times. And let me add this on there. Most of the Baptists left what's right. Amen. They traded in the Word of God for lies of the devil. They've traded preaching for programs. They've traded conviction for comfort. Amen. Hey, look, if you come in here and you're always comfortable, pray for me because I'm not doing my job. I'll be honest with you. I don't preach messages very often that I'm not uncomfortable because the Word of God will work on you.
Amen.
And it will work on me. And you know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to say, hey, you're the only one. Everybody else is comfortable. He's got your number. And the truth is, if God's in it, everybody's phone's ringing. Amen. But we're in perilous times. Then in 2 through 6, we see the perverted people. It goes down through the list. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, if that's not today. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. They can't control themselves. They're incontinent. They have no self-restraint. If it feels good, do it. They just do what they want to do with no thought of God. That's where we live today. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's today. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Then it talks in verse 6 about creeping into houses and leading captive. You know what's happened in 2020? Some things have crept into people's houses and have taken them captive. You know why? Because the devil said you can't go to church anymore. But the devil says, that's all right, I'll bring church to you. Now, would you trust the devil to bring church to you? He's the prince and power of the air. What comes through the air? Your radio and your TV. You got to be careful with that stuff. Amen. Amen. God said, let there be light, not let there be zenith. Amen. Amen. I think most light the TVs ever put out is when their tube goes bad. Amen. That blue dot, and that's it, and you're done. Praise God, it's over. Amen. Perverted people. That perverted word, we always put that with some kind of a sexual immorality, but that's not what perverted means. I mean, that's part of it. But perverted is turned aside, distorted from what's right. That's perverted. That's perverted. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be real popular here in just a minute. If you have an NIV, you have a perverted book. And I can tell you why. Because they have taken verses out. They have taken the blood out of verses. They have verses that say the exact opposite of what the manuscripts even say, let alone the King James Bible. Amen. You could go to the manuscript evidence and not even back up that Bible. And let me tell you why. Because the devil used man to write that for money. So men can tell you how shiny their brain is. Check it out. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. Put them side by side. Go down through a list of verses that aren't there and look at what verses they are. Yeah. Joseph and his mother. Joseph is not Jesus Christ's father. Amen. Jesus' mother and father is what some of the most of the new versions say. You would not believe, if you really studied to show yourself approved to God, you would not believe what they've done to these perverted Bibles. Now that being said, I'm telling you, that God has preserved His Word. The devil did not pervert the Word of God, because I have it right here. He didn't pervert it. He has some copies of things that have been perverted that he's calling the Word, but the Word is still here. Just like Jesus Christ, He couldn't destroy Him. He thought He did, but He actually destroyed Himself in the process. And that's what people do when they're against Christ. Amen. Perilous times, perverted people. Look at the proud rejectors in verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. You know what Solomon says? The making of many books, there's no end. Well, there's an end to the making of this book. God said, this is what I want you to have from Genesis to Revelation. Read it. Reread it. Because it'll read you while you're reading it. Amen. But man wants to put all their eggs in man's basket and say, well, science. Science has all the answers. Well, that's not true. Science just brings forth more questions. All the answers are in here. I remember telling a guy one time, he said, what, something about the Lord and Bible? I said, I'm glad I have all the answers. And he said, nobody has all the answers. I said, well, I can't tell you what they are, but I know where they're at. There's not a question this world could come up with this Bible can't answer. I didn't say would answer. God's not going to entertain the fools. But if you're looking for something, God will answer it in this book. Amen. In His timing. We've talked about that before. You can read through a section of Scripture and a portion of Scripture, and you can read through it. You could read through it every day for a year and find something new in it every day. 6-7 verse, one verse. God can do something different with that because it's alive. You say, well, it's paper and ink. No, it's God's Word. The paper and ink isn't. The words are. You say, well, God, you know, God didn't speak English. Oh, didn't He? How come Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth and you can't believe that God had an English Bible settled in heaven before you were even here? Are you so important that He had to wait until after you got here? No, He had that before any of us got here. Right. He had it in Greek, He had it in Hebrew, He had the total collection in English. Yep. And all the way through, men played games with it. And then God said, no, there it is. I'm going to give it to somebody whose name is Jacob. Translated into James. That happens to be the king. Because where the word of the king is, there's power. Amen. Still the best-selling book in the world. Still the most hated book in the world. And the most loved book. Amen. And probably the least read, but the most attacked. Yet the proud rejectors, in their own pride, wanting to be their own God, they want to create their own truth. They want to create their own truth. And, you know, it usually starts with something like 160 gazillion years ago. Amen. You know, they got to get way back behind the first manuscript evidence. I said, we know what happened before you guys even found the papyrus. We know what happened. And then their evolution just keeps evolving. It just changes. As soon as they're caught, they change their story. That's what liars do. You say, well, they're intentionally lying? Yeah, they're lying themselves. They're lying to you if they think they have all the answers. You ever hear, well, we get this new telescope, we found stuff we had no idea was out there. Well, you knew everything 10 years ago. Amen. Now you found out there's stuff you didn't know about. You know what the unfortunate part is? One of these days they're going to draw their last breath and they're going to find out something they didn't know about, that hell is real, the fire is hot, and they're never getting out. Amen. Proud rejectors. Amen. 8 and 9, he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. No further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. We see the pretenders exposed. Light will expose all the lies. All the lies. We look around and say, how can people get away with what they're getting away with? They're not. They're not. How could I get away with what I get away with? You're not. Amen. There's a price to be paid. Now, thankfully, eternal security, thankfully you're going to heaven if you trusted Christ. But sowing and reaping still in the Bible. Amen. You look at the world, you look at the, you know, well, how could Georgia do what it did and all these people get away? How could this happen? How could that happen? They're not getting away with anything. God's allowing things to happen until he decides it's enough. God doesn't cause everything, but he allows everything, and one of these days he's going to fix everything. He's going to expose all the untruth. Look at 10 through 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Lystra, he was stoned to death. Paul. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We see the persecuted believer. Paul goes down through this list, and I mean, Paul's got a list. Paul and Job are probably in heaven today going, can you believe what we went through? Amen? Paul's got this list that he goes down through, and we look at, well, maybe we might lose the ability to preach a certain way. Look what Paul went through. We're not going to lose the ability to do anything. Maybe the law won't allow this, or the law won't allow that. We look at persecution as somebody being disappointed that you hand them a tract and tell them there's a God. That's not persecution. That's just somebody being upset about the truth. Paul was beaten, stoned to death. You know what he did? He preached harder. Amen. It is. It's like a bullet out of a gun barrel. Pressure produces power if you're in the will of God. And that pressure that Paul was under just made him preach more powerful messages. He didn't change. He didn't compromise. He just put the pedal to the metal. Paul was living in some perilous times. Half the people he was preaching to were able to chop his head off at any second and wanted to. Amen? The persecuted believers. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. we see the program of the enemy. Evil men and seducers. The program is just to do wrong. The enemy just wants to do wicked. He doesn't want to do good. He doesn't want anybody else to do good. But I think we skip the seducers. The seducers. The seducers are trying to draw people away from truth. And when somebody's trying to get saved, the seducers come along and try to pull them away from the truth. When somebody gets saved, the seducers come along and try to keep them from getting on the right track and getting on the right path. You know, they usually come and knock on their door. Never knocked on their door before. They get saved. 3 days later, they're on their porch saying, you know you can lose it.
Yeah, amen.
You know Jesus Christ isn't God. You know this, you know that. And Lord knows I didn't say any of that. I didn't speak for them. Amen? Trying to seduce them away from the truth. He does that with believers too. The enemy does. We talked about it in Sunday school. We talked about the battle, and the battle is a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle takes place in the mind, and the battle is over the heart. And them seducers, you know what they want to do? They want to pull your mind.
Yeah.
And if they can affect your mind long enough, they can pull your heart. And they can put what they want in your heart if you allow them to have your mind long enough. We talked about the radio. We talked about TV. That's that TV set. You know, you go on that thing, and it's nothing but seducers.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yep.
You could sit down, and you could eat a huge meal and go down and sit in front of the TV. I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying you could. And watch something for an hour. And then they come on halfway through that program, and they put a cheeseburger on there and make you hungry. You were so full, you couldn't eat a pea. And now they put this cheese. And it's not even real. It's artwork. They don't even make things like that at McDonald's. Amen? Even their sign can't lie like the TV can. I mean, they got this thing got the mustard and the cheese and the ketchup painted on by Michelangelo's little cousin, you know. They paint that thing on there, and it looks like it's worth eating. And you're sitting there thinking, man, if I could just get my app to work, I'd put my mask on and go to the drive-thru, amen? And you go down that drive-thru, and you get $1.39, look what I got. And you're flipping that little skinny pickle over trying to find that dead cow in there. Where's that thing at? Because they're deceivers and they're seducers. They're trying to draw you into something that you don't need, you don't really want, and you can't really afford.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You know what the funny part of it is? Americans got a refrigerator. It's this thing with it keeps food cold.
Yep.
It's got a place that keeps food frozen. Americans have one that's full of real food.
Yeah.
Amen. Got a steak and chicken and salad and all that stuff. And you're willing to get up and drive down the road to get that fake burger? Why? Because you just woke up wanting that burger? No, because they seduced you. How do you think they do it? They do it with the eyes. The devil, he comes up with the radio, and he thought, man, that works pretty good. I can just get inside their head through their ears and look what I can do. Imagine if I could get through their eyes. So I honestly believe the devil come up with the TV set. I really do. So then he's like, well, you know, you got a car that does well, but you could have this. That's all you see on there. You ever notice that a car is not really good until, I mean, it's not the best car unless they've got the supermodel or the Fabio guy or somebody in there with it, driving it down the road. And in somewhere in your Hollywood mind, they're trying to convince you that you could be that person. Or you could get that girl to go for a ride with you if you had that $65,000 truck. It's smoke and mirrors. It's all a lie. They're trying to seduce you. They don't care about your life. They want your money. And what the devil wants is for you to be a slave to that pickup or a slave to that vehicle or a slave to that whatever it is. Amen. And he's using the love of money to get you seduced. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine up north, talking about a guy that was faithful to church, and the Lord was blessing him, and boy, he was just, his family, they started to have some things. They had a little bank account built up for security, and they had this, that, and the other, and he had the ability. He got a raise. He was working at, I'm not going to tell you who he was working, but anyway, he was working a legal job. I just don't want to point him out. So he was working, and they gave him a raise, and he was making all this money, and he had these older cars, and you know, when you're watching football, you got to have a $65,000 Ford or a $100,000 Dodge. You can't have a $3,000 one. That's just not right. So God blessed him, and he took that blessing and he turned it into a truck. And then he started turning those blessings into cars, and then fishing equipment, and then hunting equipment. And then somehow he turned it into a boat. And you know what happened? That boat became his Sunday morning. This is a guy that's been faithful for years. Good guy. I know him pretty well. Think a lot of him. I did. I still think a lot about him, pray for him, but he's not going to church now because they've seduced him. But it's not their fault. It's his fault. Amen. You know, when your kids are young and they do something wrong, and you're, well, Johnny and Susie made me do it. And you're like, no, responsibility. You made the decision. That's right. And then we get older and we try to give ourselves a pass on things that we told our kids wasn't right. Amen. Well, you just don't understand. I needed that $75,000 Dodge diesel. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You don't need to be fishing on Sunday. Amen. But that's what happens. These are born-again believers that are being seduced out of the will of God. Now, you all that have kids, grandkids, or have had kids, you wouldn't live in a bad area and at night open all the kids' windows, go in there and put your earmuffs on, go to bed, and just trust that they're going to be safe in the morning. And you sure wouldn't meet strangers and say, hey, come on in while I'm asleep. Right? But you let them come in through your TV. So how do kids start thinking the things they think? Well, let me see. Parents are like, well, I never thought like that. How could that be? This world's really going, yeah. How could that be? Because they're being raised by somebody that you allowed in your house. They're being influenced. They're being programmed by the programs. Amen. And it's subtle. The devil's more subtle than any beast in the field, remember? So I'd never put my kids in that situation. Yep, you turn the TV on and say, good luck, watch what you want. Amen. So sitting a little close to home. Hey, look, I personally think if you got rid of your TV, you'd be a better Christian. But I'm not saying to get rid of your TV. I'm saying remember where the battle takes place. It takes place in your mind. And the more time you put into that stuff, the less time you will be able to put in this stuff. You know, there are stories in here like Daniel in the lion's den, and all this stuff. You say, man, my kids, they go to Sunday school, they get these stories, they could get them at home. Amen. They could get them at home. You could even make it fun for them. Amen. I mean, tiny little kids that can't even sit still, can't stand up, still wearing diapers. You can make it fun for them. So you're programming them with godly, clean things. It's called parenting. It's not too apparent what parenting is anymore, but it's called parenting. And look, I'm talking to somebody that's made a ton of mistakes. I've made a ton of mistakes. My wife... She says, yeah, I'm making a list. No, but the truth is, here is what should entertain your kids. The things of God. Isn't it a huge blessing to see these little kids singing? I mean, you see these 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Instead of that little rat singing that Believe in Yourself, It's the Place to Start song from the TV or whatever. That's sad. All these kids know anymore, I'm not talking about church kids, I'm talking about all kids know anymore, is the things of the world. And you wonder why they're trying to figure out whether they're a boy or a girl when they're 18. It's because they've been programmed. They're deprogrammed, amen. They've been programmed with confusion and guilt. This world's driven by those things. If you're a Caucasian male, you should be guilty. You feel guilty. Now, if you're a Caucasian female, you should feel guilty. And the devil couldn't do that to somebody 60 years ago, but he's doing it now. We had folks come up marching through town, Black Lives Matter, and all this stuff. All lives matter to Jesus Christ. He died for everybody. 100-some people probably, two black folks. The rest of the folks were guilty. No. Love people and give them the truth. You want to hold a sign up, tell them how to get saved. Not down with the pigs. Amen? And it is down with the pigs until they need a police officer. Amen. This world is messed up. It's messed up. The program of the enemy is just to get people to do wrong. And you know, the funny thing is they do wrong and they've convinced themselves they're doing right. My wife and I were talking about that. Oh, it was yesterday or today. I can't remember. They just kind of run together. We're talking about the Grand Marquis, why they quit making the Mercuries. Because of the tree huggers. They come up with cafe standards where they couldn't meet them. They had to get rid of the mercury. They were selling Crown Vicks and Mercuries more than anything. They couldn't get 68 miles a gallon out of them. So they had to quit making them. They went out of business. Why? And I'm not saying, you know, oh, the world's going down in tubes because of the Grand Marquis. I do like those cars. But it's all because somebody wanted to do something good. And in their mind, and look, they're very religious about this. They're very, and they their intentions, I believe, some people are they have good intentions. And I think we ought to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. But let's be real. You can run everything you own, gas, diesel, electric, until the cows come home, and you're not going to affect this climate one bit. I'll tell you what's going to affect this climate. When Jesus Christ says, that's enough. You know, that fervent heat, the elements melting, that's not going to be from your lawnmower. That's going to be from our Savior. Amen. But the enemy wants people confused and divided, and boy, he's done a real masterful job of that in the last year. How could he get everybody by themselves and then divide everybody? Isn't that something? Because now he's got you where he wants you. If you're stuck at home and all you can do is check your phone and then you can't go out and have a real life, amen, then you just have to start eating all this junk they're feeding you on the phone if you're not going to read your Bible. So the next thing you know, oh my goodness, he's the devil, she's the devil, this is happening, that's happening, I can't go outside ever again, I'm going to stay home. And you're so afraid and you're so confused, you don't know what to believe. You know, the funny thing is some of those conspiracy theories aren't even theories anymore, they're facts. But there's so much of it out there, it's overwhelming. Just wants to overwhelm you with things of the flesh to worry about. And he can do it if you forget about the spiritual things. Amen. The program of the enemy to do wrong and to seduce people out of doing good and doing right and following the Lord. 17. Now let's look at 14 through 17 or 18. Let's see. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Here's your preventative maintenance right here. You know what that verse 17 is telling you? You can be throughly furnished. For what? So you're not taken over by the evil men and you're not seduced out by the seducers. You can be throughly furnished. Ephesians 6:10, we talk about the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We talk about that in Ephesians 6. And right here he says, here's what you need to make it in these perilous times. It's the Bible. Look at verse 16. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. That means we can't have 65 different versions. They're all God's. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For doctrine. How are you supposed to know what to believe if you don't have a Bible? That's why people are so confused about things in science and everything else. Oh, maybe we did come from monkeys. I think you're closer than you think. But no, We didn't come from monkeys. Why are the monkeys still monkeys? Just the smart ones? That's what I always say, because they got to be smart enough to not turn into us. Amen? That's how they're still monkeys. But doctrine, to know what you believe. Here's your warfare. Here's your battleground is in the mind, and here's how you keep your mind right and be truly furnished so you can make it in the perilous times is right here. Doctrine. You got to know doctrine. Saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God and set apart for a purpose. If you're missing any one of those three things, the devil can mess you up. Amen. Got a bunch of people running around here that are religious. Well, I go to this church, I go to that church. You know, half the time we said it before, they don't even know where their church is. What church you go to? Well, it's down by the, what's the name of that? That run road down over by that one place. When do you go? A couple of Easters ago. Well, maybe it wasn't Easter, was it Christmas? They're religious. They believe there's a God. But if you're not saved, you're not following the right one. But the scripture, profitable for doctrine, to know what you believe. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, somebody's going to change your mind.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Somebody's going to change your mind. That's why it's possible and even likely that saved kids go to the university and come out living like lost heathens and not believing the Bible anymore, because they didn't know why they believed what they believed. It kind of ties into what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. Because they believed it because mommy and daddy believed it. And mommy and daddy likely believed it because some preacher told them. Mommy and daddy didn't search it out for themselves, and mommy and daddy couldn't tell the kids why they believe what they believe, and they get to the university, and the university professors will tell the kids why they believe what they believe. And they finally have this connection that they were looking for. They finally have somebody that can tell them the truth in their mind. Well, they know why they believe what they believe. They have evidence. Because they weren't raised to get doctrine from the words of God. So if you're going to make it, if your family's going to make it, if your grandkids are going to make it in these perilous times, it's the Word of God. Doctrine, to know what you believe and why you believe it. Reproof, because this book will tell you when you are wrong.
Amen.
Amen. We got a whole world full of people that don't know whether they're right or wrong. Well, if you think that, that's good for you, right and wrong for you. No, right and wrong is the same for everybody. You know? If not, just smack them in the head and say, I thought it was right. Amen? It was right for me at the time. This book will reprove you. It tells you when you're wrong. We got a world full of people that don't want to hear about what's wrong. If you're going to make it in these perilous times, you're going to have to know when you're wrong. Amen. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Not only will it tell you you're wrong, God is good. He will tell you how to get right. Amen. God just don't say you're wrong. Good luck. He'll work on you. He'll show you where you're wrong in one verse, and he'll teach you how to get right. And then it says, for instruction in righteousness. It shows you what you believe, why you believe it, what the Bible says about things. It gives you doctrine. You have to have sound doctrine. Without sound doctrine, you're just a mess. You have to have doctrine. We have to have reproof because we're prone to going the wrong way. We have to have correction. God has to tell us how to get right because we're on our own. We're a mess. Because I might ask you your opinion on how to get right. You might ask mine. And without the Bible, we're going to get different opinions. Amen. You have to know how to live right. What good is it to get right if you don't know how to stay right? You know what the Bible says in Psalm 119:9? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That book will clean you up. There we go with reproof and correction. Right after doctrine. And instruction in righteousness. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Because the book tells you how to live right. And people don't want to be told what to do. And it's easy for us to look at the lost world and say, look at those heathens. But most saved people don't want to be told what to do anymore. Amen. True story right there. That's why the churches are going down the tubes. I just want some place where I can be happy. Well, you're going to be happy in eternity. Right now, just be right. Amen? And if you're right, you might not always be happy, but you always have joy. Amen. There's a difference. Those words are spelled different. Amen. You might not always be happy, but you always have joy. And guess what? If you have faith, you'll always please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What are we going to do in this world? They're going to take our guns. They're going to take our rights. We won't be able to preach against this. We won't be able to preach about that. Hogwash. Just trust God. Preventative maintenance is in this book. Look back at 11, verse 11. Paul's going down through this list. Man, this verse just fires me up. Persecutions, afflictions, not that part. Afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So we've seen the perilous times, the perverted people, the proud rejectors, the pretenders exposed, the persecuted believers, the program of the enemy to draw you out, to seduce you out of the will of God, to get you to focus on something that's not good for you instead of focusing on truth. And in the preventative maintenance of the Word of God, he goes down through this list in the Word of God, how to stay right and get right and be right. And now we see the power to endure. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God's strong enough in perilous times. More than strong enough in perilous times. And this is where I want to end up. I promise you, I'm about done here. Turn to John 14. How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? What if this happens? What if he gets elected? What if she's our president? What if they mandate this or mandate that? What if they start stoning us? The power to endure, the strength of God, and the promises of God. Look at John 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus Christ says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming back. How are we going to make it? Just hang on. He's coming back. Endure some tough times in God's strength. Waiting for the blessed hope. He's coming back. What if? He's still coming back. It doesn't matter who your president is. He's still coming back. It doesn't matter what the government says about church. He's coming back. It doesn't matter if they imprison us for preaching the truth. He's coming back. Now, I will tell you this, as a prison preacher for years, there's a captive and willing audience in there. It's a good place to preach, so praise God. If it comes down to it, you see more people get saved because jail folks know they're guilty, amen? 99% of them are, and 100% of them know it, amen? It's folks walking around out here that don't know it or don't want to admit it, amen? Perilous times. So what? He's coming back. And no matter what this world does, no matter how crazy it gets between now and then, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are saved, you are headed to heaven, and you can live in His strength. But you're not going to do it without this book. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. You know what would help this world out? Well, the Lord coming back is going to be the main thing. But between now and then, if saved folks would get right and live right to glorify Christ, because He's worthy. He's worthy. And He's coming back.